Now to a country that's close to the U.S., though we haven't heard from it in a while. I'm talking about Haiti, and I have to warn you, this next story is a difficult one to listen to, but it's an important story. It's about a boy who was sexually assaulted in Haiti, and about who's responsible when United Nations peacekeepers do something very wrong. I asked my colleague Amy Bracken to explain what happened.
This boy, we'll call him Jean. He's a very intellectually disabled kid. He was 14 years old 2 years ago when this happened. He used to hang around the Central Park of Gonaïves. And according to his half-sister, his family was very poor. His father was dead. And he would run away and he would hang around with the UN peacekeepers there. There was a police unit that was based in the center of town. And he would shine their shoes and they would give him food and money. And apparently a group of children were walking by a van one evening and they saw what appeared to be UN peacekeepers sodomizing him. They reported it to the police.
And his story has been investigated and we know that it's true.
Yeah, so there was an immediate investigation partnership between the Haitian police and UN investigators who were sent in. They discovered there were reports that not only was he abused this one time, but the abuse had gone on for years.
It's terrible. It's shocking. But frankly, there are many stories about abuse in Haiti that don't rise to the surface. So I asked Amy why Jean's case captured so much attention.
Well, I talked to a community leader in Gonaïves, and she said, yeah, if this were just a case of a local Haitian being accused of raping a boy, it probably would never have seen the light of day. But because it was the UN, there's so much anger toward the UN. UN peacekeepers have been in Haiti since 2004. A lot of people don't understand why they're still there, feel that it's a humiliation. And so people wanted to go after the UN. But the problem is that the military and the police who are participating in the UN mission are still under the jurisdiction of their own country. So in this case, Pakistan. And so although the UN has a responsibility to investigate, in the end, it's Pakistan that has to be in charge of the discipline, unless immunity is lifted by the Secretary General of the UN.
So a UN situation that kind of leaves this poor boy Jean in limbo and his family. What have they been doing to kind of champion his cause?
Well, from the very beginning, they were demanding justice as well as reparations. And a local attorney named Arsène Dieu-Just stood up, and he's been representing the family. He said it is really seen as UN action, UN responsibility. So this is what he told me.
Nous ne connaissons pas le Pakistan parce que quand on voit un véhicule avec l'insigne UN.
So what he's saying is we don't know Pakistan. When we see a vehicle with a UN insignia, we don't know if it's French or what. It's the UN that's the institution. So it's up to the UN to settle the score.
And what about the UN? What's the attitude there towards this?
Well, actually, that was very surprising to me. I think it's really divided within the UN. All these promises that were made in the UN about 10 years ago, there were some really high-profile cases of alleged sexual abuse and exploitation in Africa by humanitarian workers and peacekeepers. And starting with the Secretary General Annan and now with Ban Ki-moon, there's been a lot of talk about UN having a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to sexual abuse and exploitation. And people within the UN saw this as a great opportunity to show that there really was zero tolerance at the UN. So there was an aggressive investigation that took place very quickly, and there was a real push within the UN for immunity to be lifted. But in the end, it was left up to the Pakistani military to have a court-martial of the accused.
So what finally happened? Was anybody ever held accountable for what happened to Jean?
Well, in the court-martial, there were three accused who were penalized. They were all dishonorably discharged, according to the Pakistani government, and one of them was sentenced to 1 year behind bars back in Pakistan. But people continued to call for reparations. And one thing that really infuriated people was that this court-martial happened without the knowledge of the Haitian justice system and without the knowledge of the family. And they found out after the fact through the media that this had happened.
And what about Jean himself? I know you had something of a poignant meeting with him before you departed Haiti on this assignment.
Yeah, I mean, in this whole process, Jean really seems to have been forgotten. I did go and visit him. He was taken into state custody after this happened, and the state put him in a group home outside of Port-au-Prince. I visited with his attorney and his half-sister. He did seem to be in a better place. He seemed to have found the security and peace that he was never able to find before, as well as being fed on a regular basis.
Amy Bracken, who's heading back to Haiti next week. Amy, thank you very much for coming in and telling us the story.
Thanks so much, Marco.
Amy's reporting is in partnership with 100 Reporters, a nonprofit investigative news organization.